Your name, please?
Jackie Robinson.
And your occupation and position?
Well, I'm chairman of the board of the Freedom National Bank and in the process of establishing Gibraltar Life Insurance Company here in New York.
Mr. Robinson, do you think that there's any basic difference between people because of their race?
Reverend Kennedy, my viewpoint is that there isn't any basic difference between races because of race. I think we have to judge them as individuals.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Jackie Robinson, one of America's all-time great baseball stars, member of baseball's Hall of Fame, and chairman of the board of the Freedom National Bank. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Jackie Robinson. If you had your choice, would you rather be liked or respected?
Oh, I'd much prefer to be respected. Number one, I have to live with myself. And if I have to go about making progress in this country by being liked rather than respected, I'd have difficulty living with myself.
Do you think that people, by and large, perhaps are too concerned about being liked by other people?
Well, I think this is the way that most people feel they can get ahead. Actually, they're cheating themselves, as I see it. You must, in my view, be able to express yourself. You have to be honest about it. But people who believe that they can get ahead more by pleasing other people rather than themselves, I think in the long run, are hurting themselves.
What do you feel, Mr. Robinson, from your long and very interesting experience, are the marks of a real person that deserves respect?
Well, one who is really true to himself, his God, and his country, probably should say true to God first. I, in my career, have always felt that I perhaps have lost a great deal because I am true to the things that I believe in. I say what I think is right. I don't say what's going to please the newspaper men. I don't say what's going to please the average person if I don't think it's right. Many people feel that you must do this. Well, I disagree thoroughly because in the long run, as I've tried to point out, it's going to come back and haunt you. And my view is to really go ahead and do what's right rather than what is liked by other people.
Mr. Robinson, why do you think that there has been so much trouble then between the races?
Well, I think, number one, there is a fear among many people that the Negro is going to try to retaliate for all of the kinds of problems that they faced years ago. The Negro is not interested in anything other than more democracy here in this country. We keep hearing about every time there's some progress being made that communism is moving in and this kind of thing. The Negro is not, in my view, and has demonstrated over the years that they are not interested in communism, but they want more democracy in a nation such as ours.
Do you think that the Negro has a great deal to contribute by way of skill and work and brain to the welfare of this country?
I think if the doors are open in business and industry, if the doors are open in government to the Negro, you would find that there would be a great deal more contributed by us. The youngsters, for instance, they look and see what is happening to their fathers and their relatives throughout this land, and it puts up a kind of a barrier. What's the use of going out and getting myself prepared? Because if I do, I will end up in the same category as my father and mother and my uncle and aunt who themselves are prepared. So my view is if they open the door, you would find the same kind of situation that exists in baseball today. The doors were closed for so many years. When they finally open them up, you found the Negro going in, preparing himself, and really making a contribution. I keep hearing, well, it's not really the same in baseball as it is in other areas, and I say it is just about the same, because all you need is ability. whether you're in business or whether you're in sports. And if you have that ability, you ought to be allowed in a democracy to go as far as your individual ability will allow you to go. And therefore, the contributions that a race such as ours will make will be the same as any other here in this country. There are some tremendously talented people. The contributions that Dr. Ralph Bunche has made to this world is something I think is quite great here in this country. You look at the doctors who have made contributions. You look at our lawyers, Thurgood Marshall. They tell me he's one of the top judges in this area. He got experience. He knew what he has to be done, and he does it. So we could make as many contributions as anyone if the opportunities presented were presented.
Mr. Robinson, from your experience in baseball, did you find that following respect, that friendship did develop between people of different races?
Well, I think if you look at the Brooklyn Baseball Club as it was back in the late 40s and early 50s, and even further, you would note that there was a tremendous amount of respect. I can give you an example. One of the people on the ball club who was most vocal against my coming onto the ball club finally saw the contributions that we could make to help the ball club win, and he forgot for the moment the basic difference between us, and he came over and started giving me pointers as to how the ball club could develop and how you can help it and all kinds of different things. And then we had a fellow by the name of P.V. Reese on the ball club. I think the feeling of respect and friendship that he and I had was something that just couldn't have existed until he had the opportunity of knowing me, seeing what kind of individual I was, and he judged me in the contents of my character, on my ability as a ball player, not on the coloring of my skin. Therefore, the Dodgers, in my view, were a successful ball club in the 10 years that we were on it because of this feeling. They're a successful organization now because the organization still goes out and selects people because of ability. And I would have to say that they do respect you by the way that you conduct yourself and by the way that you perform. And I think this is the only way that it should be.
What do you think is the cause of the talk about backlash as a result of the civil rights issues?
Well, I think this is a fear that many white people have. It's understandable to a certain degree that people are tremendously concerned about what's going to happen, and therefore they are aligning themselves, getting as many people to come in to protect their different positions. I think the economy enters into it. People are so afraid that unless they keep one race of people down, that perhaps they're going to interfere. My view is if they're not prepared, they ought not to have a position of responsibility. Just, I don't believe that a Negro, just because he's a Negro, ought to have a position of responsibility. I remember breaking into baseball, and the newspaper man went to P.B. Reese, who was shortstop on the ball club. I was shortstop, and the newspaper man said, "P.B., how do you like it? Robbins is a Negro. He's coming in as a shortstop. He may take your position." And P.B. said, "I don't like it. This kind of thing." So the press thought that they had a story. But before they could go any further, he says, "But I think I have enough ability that if I can't make shortstop on the Brooklyn Dodgers, I'll be able to make it someplace else. I have that ability." He had confidence enough in himself to know that he can make it in the major leagues. I think if this thing existed throughout our country, it would make us that much stronger. The competition would be there. Therefore, we'd have to prepare ourselves all the more. We'd have to really be prepared. And in being prepared, we help the country as a whole. And I keep thinking about them holding the Negro down. And we're only 10%, but to keep us down, how many white people have to stay down there too, thus weakening our country that much more? I've always been of the opinion that you can only be as strong as your weakest link. And as long as you're trying to keep a group down, keep them weak, the country is going to have to be weak also because we have so many vulnerable spots. There can be no question that we can make valuable contributions, and we'd make even more if our youngsters starting at 12, 15 years ago, when their lives are being molded and shaped, if they thought that they could go as far as their individual ability to allow them to go, they would, many of them would want to be men of space, or they'd want to go into some kind of industry that would enable them to make contributions to the country. The Negro loves America, and we feel that it's now time that America turns around and loves all of its citizens.
Do you think, Mr. Robinson, that we are making progress in this country, or aren't we, in the matter of civil rights and integration?
Well, you have to say, with the attitude that was expressed about the Civil Rights Bill, that we are making progress.
Do you think, as people of different races have more opportunity for a person-to-person kind of contact, that things are going to get better or worse?
Oh, yes, there can be no question. If they get together, see what the aims and the ambition, desires of people of varying races and creeds, they would have to take a different viewpoint. In my opinion, we in this country would be so much better off if you just had the opportunity of having more communication between people. You would find out that the Negro has certain desires and ambitions just like the Jewish group has, or the Italians have, or just as the Catholics have, or any other group. All they want is here in this country to make a contribution, to be able to participate, and as you pointed out, if they do get a chance to sit down and meet and talk to people, they will find out exactly what our views are and that we want to make contributions to America. We feel very strongly that what good is civil rights if America doesn't survive? And I think we are in danger of not surviving when and if these things continue. You can't keep stepping on people of color and not have people throughout this world of color take a real good look at it and wonder how this thing can continue and not do anything about it.
Do you think it's possible for a person of one race, say a Negro, to like a person of another race, say a white person, as much as he likes the person of his own race?
Oh, I think there can be no question about that. I think people with something in common like people just as well. I have a number of white friends that I respect as much as any Negro friend that I have. These are people we have something in common with. It doesn't mean that I'm interested in intermarriage because of this. I'm not. I don't think there's a white person in this world could touch my wife. You know, she has all the abilities that's necessary. She has the beauty, she has the charm, the grace that goes in it. And I don't need people of other races for this. I mean, the Negro has people of all interest, and there are some that would much prefer intermarriage, but the percentage is so minute. And I think one of the problems among white people is that they think this is what the Negro wants, and they keep talking to their children about the Negro is this, the Negro is that. And our kids today are quite inquisitive. They want to find out for themselves. And therefore, even in the South, we have found that under the cover of darkness, you have more mixing than perhaps you do up here in the North, because people want to find out for themselves a lot of things.
What are the satisfactions that you get from your work?
Oh, I think the satisfaction I get is to erase some of the images that people have. I know when I went into baseball, the image that many of the people have was erased when they got a chance to know me. Working at Chock Full of Nuts, the image that we eliminated, erased there, gave me a tremendous amount of satisfaction. But above all, I think that when you are able to participate in the kinds of activities that we have in this country, and to do it with your head held high, and to do it because this is the way that you're feeling, gives me, a tremendous amount of satisfaction. I'm gratified that I've been able to join in with a lot of other people with the help of God and with the help of my natural instincts and the things that my mother taught me as a kid and the guidance and the inspiration I get from my wife. It gives me satisfaction to know that we have made a measure of success out of our life.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jack Robinson, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
Well, it's my pleasure being on Viewpoint. It's tremendously interesting as it was years ago.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Jackie Robinson, one of America's all-time great baseball stars, member of baseball's Hall of Fame, and chairman of the board of the Freedom National Bank.